Good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. I see some new faces, see some friends that are here. It's excited to be able to worship the Lord with you. Even in song, it's beautiful when the songs give you truth about what we should believe and in our lives and give you great doctrine that we can hold on to and to help us remember. My kids go to a school where they're learning the confessions and songs and come home and sing it to their parents. So it's good to have songs that really points us to Christ, that points us to the cross, and it points us to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Tommy gave a brief introduction to me. Pastor Matt, who is our lead preaching pastor here, is out imparting to a partnering church the gospel, and hope that it'll be mutual fellowship there, and that he has something to come back to us as well and to bless us with his time being there. My name is Emmanuel. Again, I'm one of the elders here at Fellowship Raleigh. And if you've been with us, maybe this is your first time, thank you for coming and thank you for joining us. But we've been going through the gospel for the turns of life. And the gospel for the turns of life is that we all know that things are changing. Things are changing in our lives. We have different seasons of life and different times in our lives. You might be here, new to Raleigh. You just moved to the city. Or like me and my family, we just moved into a different neighborhood, really trying to get settled there. It may be that you're transitioning in a job, that a turn in your life has been you've got a new job, a new place, trying to figure out new relationships, maybe connected here into a new small group, and you're really trying to work that out in the relationships there, or a new community. Maybe you have had an addition to your family, a newborn. Maybe you went from one to two kids, to two to three like our family, which has been a big adjustment in our life, or maybe even two to four kids and counting, for those who know that Pastor Matt and Kristen just had twins recently. Or maybe you've experienced some death among family and among friends, and how does the gospel help speak into as we navigate through life? We wanted to take this time in August to do that, to really bring encouragement, to bring hope and faith as we turn through life in those different seasons. So if you've been with us so far, some of the things that we have looked at, we've seen a never-changing God, that God is immutable, that he does not change. He does not change, but that he is the same. He's consistent, his word. We looked at that the first week. Pastor Matt gave that to us. And then the following week, we looked in Ecclesiastes, talking about the different seasons of our lives, different times, different seasons, and how to really transition in that with the gospel. We had a brother, Josh, to preach with us a couple of weeks ago, talking about the change in me or the change in us, is that we are progressing in this sanctification, that God is continuing to save us and to make us more into Christ, that it's God's will is our sanctification, our holiness, becoming more like Christ in every circumstance. And last week, we looked at being content in every circumstance. And today, we will remember the gospel, how our story fits into God's story. So with that, if you can grab your Bibles and turn to, if you don't have a Bible, you should see one. Should be some in the pews. And if you don't have one with you at home, please feel free to take that with you. That's one of our gifts to you for today. And we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, and you can turn to page 823 in those Bibles. We'll be focused today on verses 1 through 4 today. For this part, just to start off, just to kind of see where we're at in the book of Corinthians, we're going to read to verse 19, and you should be able to see those scriptures on the screen as well. After we read those scriptures, I will pray. 1 Corinthians 15. All right. It's taking me a while to find it here. Okay, there we go. All right. Now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testify about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, God. As the song says, great are you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for your gospel, your word, your truth that has been spoken out to all mankind that we may respond to you. God, help us this morning to see the cross, to see the resurrection, to see these truths as something that we can really apply to our lives, to see that this is how you call us into this story that we have with you. God, we need you now to open up our hearts, to open up our ears, to open up our eyes to see you. Help me, Lord, to proclaim your word as it is, and that your spirit would give life to each and every one of us in whatever turn of life that we're in, that the gospel can truly have implications in all of life for us. God, your spirit makes that known to us. Your spirit teaches us. We need your spirit now to help us so that we can behold you, honor you, and live out what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we hear in 1 Corinthians 15. I call this looking back, moving forward. I read somewhere that when it comes to the scriptures, we must look back at God's word, but the Spirit shows us how to apply that moving forward, all right? So when I want to approach the scriptures this morning, I want to start just with that first part where it says, now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel. So just from the context that we just read, it was interesting to, the question I wanted to know is, why is Paul reminding them of the gospel? That's the question I want to figure out. With all that's going on right here with the resurrection and what people are saying, why is only Paul reminding them of the gospel? This is a serious issue for which already been said that we're saved by. So the way I approached that and approached the scriptures, when I read it, the first word that really stuck out to me was now. And that's something we see that word many times referred to in the book of Corinthians, but it helped us to get context into the flow of what's going on in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to show you a few of those real quick, what's taking place in that church. 1 Corinthians 7:1 should be on your screen. Look what he says. He says, now, concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Then he goes to 1 Corinthians 7 explaining some instruction on that. Then we get to 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now concerning food offered to idols, and he gives instructions to that. Come closer to chapter 12, we see now concerning the gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And then he goes to chapter 12 and 14, really explaining how the order should be done within the church. And then right after the chapter that we're in chapter 16, we see him say, now concerning the collections for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also are to do. See, in this church, there's different issues in life that are being taken place. And Paul is going chapter by chapter, explaining and giving instruction on how those things should be handled. And when we come in in this chapter that we're in verse 15, we also see him now, let me remind you, of the gospel. Why? Because there's a particular issue that's going on in that church that we need to see that's going to help us to hold fast to what we believe. All right, so we see in verse 12, that's why we read that whole, just to see the context. In verse 12, it says this: "Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So here's the issue. The issue is about the content in the gospel that the resurrection, they're not clearly seeing the resurrection. And so how will Paul really handle that is what I want us to see this morning. And it's interesting to me that he only says reminder, or in a little, just he made known again the gospel. But that's interesting because we know Paul, even from what we've seen in Galatians, is that when people are not walking in line with the gospel, he's rebuking cats. He's coming straight at them like, man, what you're doing right now, you know, you're a leader, but what you're doing right now is really kind of taking people off from what we want to see in the free grace of God that he has given us. And so Paul here doesn't really use that approach. And I think there's a reason why for that. That we see. I'm going to read it again. It says, Paul says, "Now I remind you, brothers, people of the faith, the saints, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if that condition you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. This understanding of the resurrection really determines if someone is a believer or not. The Bible calls these primary essentials. There's essentials to the faith that we hold to. There's some non-essentials that we don't break over. But there's some essentials that let us know if we're really in God's story or not, and that God has called us. Look at this. Calm.org, which is Christians Apologetics Research and Ministry, says this about primary essentials. Stated specifically in Scripture. In the Scriptures, it says that they cannot be denied and still be a Christian. They deal with the nature of God, the atonement, and his method of salvation applied to the believer. Denial of any primary essential constitutes lack of regeneration or being born again or a lack of salvation. There are some other essentials besides this or the resurrection that the Bible makes clear that determines if you believe this, you're a Christian or not. Some of those is salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works. It is a gift of God. That's an essential that we must hold to. It's not anything that we do of ourselves. It's what Christ has done for us, is what we see mentioned in this text. That Christ died for our sins. That it was he that was buried. That it was he that was resurrected on the third. That it points completely to Christ. So salvation is not by us, it's by grace. Also, the true nature of who Christ is, of not just being a God, but he is the God, he is Jehovah God. That is an essential to understand to the faith, who Christ truly is, including his humanity as well. He's fully God and he's fully man. And we have many others. And we have some secondary issues as well, which is the understanding, the things we sung about, the Trinity, all those kind of things are the fruits of a true believer as we grow. Because we have, in 1 John says, we have this anointing that teaches of the truth, that we can know who God really is. So the issue here is about remembering our story and God's story, is that we have to connect our beliefs with believing in God determines if we really know God or not. All right? You cannot have what you have not possessed. So a person who is not believing in the resurrection in this particular context and many other issues that are important, they may not have never known Christ, because that is not an issue for those who truly believe. And that's very, very important for us to see. The implications of that is all when you read the rest on your own time, read the stuff that the questions that they was asking about the resurrection was implications about their life on how we should live. Hey, if there's no resurrection, let's just eat Mary and just do whatever we want to do. Live life, YOLO. You know, we only got one life. Live it here. But no. He goes on to the consummation and talks about the kingdom of God and what's going to happen, because God is still alive, that God has taken his kingdom and given it to his Father. What we look forward to, the hope to be with him. You know, so it has implications on how we live our lives. And we need to look back so we can move forward in the terms of life. We need to see where we stand currently with God, so that we can know how to navigate and we can look back and see God's faithfulness, how he has saved us, how he has brought us to himself through the message that he preached. So for those who has it, yes, it is a reminder to them. But those who doesn't, it's new to them, because those who has it possess it. And they do currently to this day. They do not waver away from these truths. They stay firm in the gospel. That might not be much of an issue for us today about the resurrection, but there are things that's happening in our culture that may cause us to move away from it. In our culture now, the way that we see certain things may be attacking what we believe about the gospel. It could be marriage. It can be about the scriptures. Is it all for us? Those things, the gospel is according to the scriptures. Marriage points to Christ. It shows forth Christ's love for the church. Those kind of things may affect and make us waver away from what God wants us to see in the gospel. So we need to hold firm to that. So what's important is that there are some, is to know if our story, if have we truly believed the gospel. And that points us to really the first point I want us to see. Remember the gospel call to you. Let me explain to you what the gospel call is in simple terms. It's the way that God brings salvation into our lives. Have you thought about what has God really doing, or how does God bring salvation to us? Now, we know that we are to believe so forth and so on, but there is a process that God uses to do that, so that in his story, that applies to our story. All right, he has a way that he does things in his story that applies to our story. And we see this through the gospel call. And we need to be reminded and see, have we experienced the gospel call that's talked about? Scholars break up this gospel call in two categories. We call it, one, a general call or a external call, which pretty much means that the gospel is to be preached to all creation. And the gospel is to go to all mankind, but all men will not receive the gospel. All men may hear, but doesn't mean that they receive that call that God is proclaiming to them. The cross doesn't mean that they accept it. But this other call that God talks about that we'll look at in a second is a call that is effective. The gospel takes effect in your life. It's just not the doctrines, it's applying in our life. For us, just a small example, Paul in Ephesians talks about that we was buried with him, that we die with him, that we raise with him into new life. Now we can walk into sanctification that has implications, the gospel does, in our lives, because we are connecting our story with God's story. So there's a call that's just for everybody that some people reject. There's a call that is effective, that's inward, that actually takes place in our lives. Those truths take place in our lives, and we need to know if that has happened and take place in our life. A particular scripture that we see this, this gospel call, just to break this down from scripture, is Romans 8, 29 through 30. It says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Verse 30, "And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified or declared right, saved, he also glorifies. Now, I don't want us to get caught up theologically about predestination, which is an important factor in the book in God's plan of salvation. What I want us to see is God's call, that God is calling the people to himself. He's calling the people out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's calling people in fellowship with his son, that God has a call that's to all men, that has a call to all men, then he has a call that is effective in your life. And that's the difference. We have one who's heard that same message preached about the resurrection, but he does not hold firm to it. So has he really believed? And we have one who believes, they hold firm, and they continue on to glorification. And the hope that we see in the rest of 1 Corinthians 15 of the resurrection. What implications resurrections have in our lives. So Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1:9, says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So how is calling us? What is God doing to call us to himself in his story? How is he going to get the message across to us that we need him? Look at this. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14 say, to this he has called you through the gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us to himself through the gospel, through human proclamation, through the preaching of the gospel. God has called us to himself. That's how he's hollering at us to come to him. And we find this in 1 Corinthians. Paul says this, now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word. So what we see here is that the gospel is preached, the gospel is received, the gospel saves, and persevering in the gospel. One last point I just want to say, there's an order to that back in Romans 8 that I forgot to mention to you. That it was, he has called us, the next order, we're justified, and then we're glorified. There's an order to that, as well as there's an order here for how God is calling us to himself. So we see that the gospel is preached, that God calls us through, uses human proclamation to bring us to himself. Romans 10, 14 and 17 says this, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? All right, we need to be reminded of that, not only for ourselves. Evangelism is for ourselves as well. It's just preaching the gospel. We need to evangelize to ourselves as well, but as well, we need to proclaim the gospel. That is how people come to know our God, through the human proclamation. He uses us. So what is that message we preach? We see it kind of laid out in here, but it's also in the rest of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be popping around looking at some scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says this. This is what Paul preached. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So that same cross message is preached, but for some, it's not connected yet. For others, they have hold on to it, and it's the power of God for them to be saved. Our gospel story, knowing the gospel. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, but guess what? It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. And goes down to 21 through 23. For the Jews demand signs, and Greek seeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For those who are called, have you heard that gospel call? Have you responded to that gospel call, the message of the cross? And what we see Paul saying here, have you responded at that at some point in your life? And as I was thinking about this, I remember this is a very light example, comparing yourself, a situation to God. But I remember when I met my wife, right? We were high school sweethearts back in the day. And so I said, man, this she's somebody I really want. I really got to have this girl. This girl is bad, all right? So, you know, we all have our standards, son. And so I like this is the one I want. So what I thought I'd do, I said, look, I'm gonna use her best friend to, you know, go holler at her, let her know I'm interested, and you know, that's what's gonna do it. So, you know, I told her friend, goes to her and she said, look, if you're gonna get with me, you know, you're gonna have to come to me face to face. We can't do this, you know, go through the side thing, you know, whatever's going on. So I was like, and you know, at that time I didn't know Jesus. I was very arrogant. Like, who she think she is? She better accept that offer. But, you know, as any girl that has high standards, you know, she wanted me to come correct. So I came, you know, I gave her that initial offer, and I came to her, I met her in the hallway. I said, man, you know, look, I don't even know what I said, but it worked. Whatever it did, it worked, right? You know, but I gave her, I was like, look, man, you know, like, I want to get to know you, whatever the situation. And she said, okay, I get back to you. You know what I'm saying? Basically, she's like, I get back to you. I got some transitions going on in my life. I get back to you. Here's the thing. This is saying, the reason I said that, she did get back to me like a week later. We had a good conversation. And look, I got her. I called her, and she's mine now. And we just celebrated 10 years. So thank God for his faithfulness and that. But here's the thing. It doesn't mean that when a human proclamation goes forth that you have to come to the altar right then. It really just means that there has been a call at some point in your life and you might have responded to that in your story. It doesn't have to be, oh, I heard it today. Oh, I never went to the altar. And so maybe I didn't receive it. No, that's not the case. That's not the case. At some point, the word had to be planted. It had to be a seed. And you might have responded in your bedroom for all I know. But there was a proclamation at some point in your life that you connected your story with God's story because you understood that he was calling you to himself by the Holy Spirit. So that's just important to know, and we need to be remembering the gospel call because that's how we move forward. Again, you cannot hold on to what you've never possessed, right? Going back, we see that in that message, so in 1 Corinthians, he also says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The thing that worries me a little bit is that when someone asks, hey, man, you know Jesus? It's like, yeah, I believe that he died for me. It's just like casual, like, I just believe that he died for me. This is essential to really see that is true. But not only that, but that has taken place in our lives. Let's go here. The gospel received. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. All right? So that this message of the gospel, this human proclamation, must be received. So I want to make it very clear just this morning what exactly the gospel is. Now, we see that it's about Christ who died for our sins, that he was buried and resurrected. But here we have like an outline for how we do it just to make it make sense. And then later I'm going to come on and take that same outline and say how it has implications in all of our lives. So the gospel really starts with God. All right, the story is about God. God's story is about him, that he created a people for himself. He created them in his image and in his likeness. All right, and he's given them a will, a conscience to know what's right and wrong, and a law for us to live by. Unfortunately, because of the fall and original sin, we all are born into sin. We have a condition of sin that makes us sin. And so sin takes opportunity to say, to do wrong things. Or sin is also to know the right thing to do, James says, that we'll be looking at, and not to do it. So we all have this condition. We all need to know that we all stand in the same place before God, a perfect, righteous, and holy God set apart. But he made a people for himself. All right, so we have this issue. Every religion believes there's an issue with us. But every people don't have a way to go back to God. And the way is through Christ and what Jesus has done for us. So if we have the sin issue, what is the penalty for sin? The Bible said that the penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. All right? So we need a Savior to come in the likeness of God, who is like God, but becomes man, lives out the requirements that God has for us that we haven't met, lived the perfect life we couldn't live because that's the standard to be right with God. It's perfect righteousness. How do we get that within ourselves? We cannot. We cannot. So we need to look towards who? A Savior that God sent his Son. That's the exact representation of him who's fully God, fully man, to be the mediator between us, that dies for our sins on the cross. He was buried and was raised on the third day, and the resurrection gives us eternal life. He was raised for our justification. That payment has been cleared. And then we have to respond to that and say, that is me. He died in my place. It should have been me to take the penalty of the sins, but Christ did it for us. That's good news. That's good news to us. And we have to respond to that in repentance. We have to receive that, the gospel received. We have to receive that and receive that through repentance and faith. Paul says, I command men everywhere to repent. That we must come through repentance, that's a change of one's mind to see sin the way God sees sin, right? Turn from that and turn towards Christ and to trust him fully. That is to give up our life to follow him, that he's Lord of our life. He becomes master, he becomes in control. He gave up our life, his life for us. We respond by giving wholly to him, not trusting in ourselves. That's the gospel, but we have to respond to that. With the centrality of the cross and that he died for our sins. We must see that and respond to that. All right, so the gospel must be received, and receiving it comes through repentance and trust, holding on to Christ. And the gospel saves, in which we stand and is being saved. Romans 5:2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also attained access by faith in the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This gospel that we stand is a secure position, and that we also said that it goes towards glorification, that we're continually to grow, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, by the gospel. When we hear the God's word and we see that we fall short, we continue to look back at the cross. We continue to look back at what God's done for us, not towards our own efforts, as God is making us, as Josh preached a couple of weeks ago, and sanctifying us and bringing us more and more into the image of Christ. That's the goal in the terms of life. The goals in the terms of life is to look back, is to look forward into Christ, and that helps us to navigate through the issues in our life. And then lastly, in this particular area, it's preserving in the gospel. It says this, to hold fast. We see that word, hold fast. Holding something in restraint and not letting it get away. We're holding on to the gospel. We're not letting the issues of life take the gospel away from us. If all things, that's what we are to hold on to, all right, in those issues in life. Someone says this, that our salvation is kept by Christ holding us fast, not primarily by our holding him fast. Our holding on to him is evidence that he is holding on to us. All right? We get a story in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus talks about the parable of the seed, this gospel call, right? That the seed goes out, it's being spread, and it falls on different grounds. We see some that fall on some ground, or just a path. And it's taken away because it has no root into it. Because they didn't understand. They heard, but they didn't understand what they heard. All right? The Bible talks about. The Bible talks about this seed being choked by the issues of this world and the riches and being deceived by that. And so that doesn't bear fruit as well, that seed. And these different kinds of seeds, but there's one seed that says this. And this is between truly responding to the gospel call or maybe just understanding that Christ just died for me. Is this, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold fast a continual attitude towards the word and bear fruit refers to the continual productivity and perseverance in the gospel. There's one message that there's a heart that holds on to that word, and it bears fruit and goes on. Barclay says this about holding fast to the gospel: something to which a man has to hold tenaciously. Life makes many of attempt to take away our faith. Things happen to us and to others which baffle our understanding. Life has its problems to which there seems no solution, and its questions to which there seems no answer. Life has its dark places where there seems to be nothing to do but hold on. Faith is always a victory, the victory of our soul, which tenaciously maintains its clutch on God in Christ. All right, so the gospel must be preached. We must respond to it at some point in our lives, for therefore we're saved, and we must continue to hold on to that to the end. As Hebrews 13 says, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. All right, this last point I want to give us is I wanted to give us something that would be an imagery. I work with you, so I want to give an imagery that really helps us to remember the central truths of the gospel and how we can apply it in all of life. So I have an illustration that I want to show you, if we can get that illustration up. Go back. All right, right there. All right, you see Allen Iverson and Michael Jordan. What is going on? All right, this morning. This is actually a text that you can see I received on Thursday at 2 o'clock. And in this picture, what basically this text is about, it's some great news, I'm trying to tell you. It's about Allen Iverson just got on the Cleveland Cavaliers team for $1 million. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that Allen Iverson just joined? If you know basketball, you know Allen Iverson is a great, but it said that he recently joined on with the Cavaliers. So that's the text I got. The interesting thing about this text was it was sent to me 2 days ago, as I had already saw it a month ago. And I had already made my conclusions of if I really believed it was real or not, you know. So I was like, okay, I hadn't heard nobody else talk about it. That would change history if Allen Iverson did get up there. But I really wasn't so true. But I did take a double take. And I'm going to tell you why I took a double take. Oh, let me see. Hold on. Let me look into this a little bit more. It's because the person who sent it to me, all right, was one of my close friends. He is in the news. He is up to date on things in life. And because he sent it to me, I was like, maybe it may have some truth to it. The reason I use that example, because sometimes I would have looked over that message because I was already familiar with it. I already knew, I made my conclusions about what this is going to mean to me, all right? And sometimes with the gospel, we can be and say we're gospel-centered, we can say we're cross-centered, but it can be so familiar to us that it really is not having that hold on us that it should. And that's what I don't want us to happen to us and happen to me as I think about the gospel. Yeah, I'm gospel-centered, I believe that he died for me, and it's just so casual. But this is something that determines and moves us forward in the gospel. And so I was familiar with it. But the source, see, Paul says this, that what he delivered of first importance, he also received. That there was a source behind the gospel. The gospel is just not Emmanuel's up here preaching. It's that God is speaking through the gospel. There's a bigger source there. Look at Galatians 1:11 says this: for I will have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not a man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't get familiar with the gospel and just say, hey, he died for me. Know that God is speaking to you constantly to point you back to the cross when we hear the gospel. God is truly speaking to us. Know that the source is God. Let's just not check the box that we got our doctrine right. When we see God's word and we see us fall short, we can say, but Christ has fulfilled it, and he's taken it on to the cross. I'm clinging to Christ again. It has to be that every time we hear the word, we have to go back to the gospel. We have to. So don't get over familiar with it. Another thing I noticed with it being a source is that it's not a man's gospel. It's God's gospel. It was a revelation to Paul, but that God is the source and that God makes Christ in the cross central. It is God that makes it of first importance in the scriptures. Look at Luke 24 and 27 says this. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish one, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is Jesus speaking in the Gospels. What is not necessary, let me see what we got here. Oh, it's not up. All right, let me see. What is not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter in his glory. Here's the point. And Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The gospel is according to scriptures. We can look in Isaiah, we can look in Hosea, Jonah, we can look in Genesis and see that it's all pointing to Christ and what he's done for us. All right? So, the source, that God is the source, and that it's in first important to God, it should be first important to us. Look in John, Jesus says this, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear, the scriptures that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. The scriptures is pointing to Christ. He is the first importance to God. We see it all over the Bible. Let it be of first importance to us as well to see that the gospel is pointing to Christ, but it's also for God in our lives. All right, I want to finish with this part of with that picture. Can I get that picture up real quick to help us to finish this last part, our story and God's story, and seeing how the gospel can have implications on all of our lives. When I looked at the story again, go back real quick. When I looked at the story again, it kind of looked like it's cut off. Like there's something that I wasn't supposed to know, right? It's like, man, he cuts it off with a few words. But the main point is in there. The main point is in there. But sometimes it would have been helpful for me if I could see the whole story, right, to really be able to determine if it's true. All right? So it is central. The point is, it is central that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and raised. That's the main point of the gospel, but we need to also understand the full story so we can see where our story lies. All right, David had a story, all these people had a story, but it all was going to point to Jesus coming. It's similar with us as well. We need to know the whole story. So this is helpful for you. Our story and God's story for doing this. We start with the essentials. We have God, man, Jesus, and response. What's been helpful for me in doing and keeping the gospel centered in all kind of different areas of my life is first seeing who God is and what is his will and his original intent for the things that he's created. I want to know that what God's original intent is, all right? And then, as the Bible says this, God has something to say about everything in our life. And Peter, he says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. There's nothing in our lives that God has not already spoke on. All right? All things pertain to life and godliness. But we need to know the scriptures and know the story so we can see where we fit in that and how we navigate throughout our lives. And what the situation is so that we can apply it to the context and whatever we're going through, in our marriages, in our finances, whatever it is, we need to know God's original will for that. All right. But then there's a problem. The problem is man's sin. How the sin affected what God has intended it to be. How sin has broken things, whether it's personal, systemic, culturally, or nationally. All right. There's issues from that is affecting what God originally intended. And I'm gonna give us an example to make it make sense. And Jesus, the person and work of Jesus, fulfilled God's demands. We need to look at Christ and then response. Oh, let me say about Christ real quickly. For Jesus is the God-man. He is the full picture of what God is like, but he also bore in our weaknesses. All right? We need to remember that when we're thinking about this gospel story. And I did say I got this from this thing called Porter Book, which is a layman's theology, and basically says that everyone has a gospel story. But we need to find out where our story is in God's story. So we need to understand these things. And this is how they break it down. We need to see that Christ's obedience, he shows us what we should do. In his active obedience, he models for us what God's will is. Our disobedience, he died on the cross where we see all God's attributes displayed in all the woes of mankind. And then we must respond again in repentance and faith so it realizes with the will of God. Let me give you an example of how this works. And I use this for evangelism and for myself. But there was an issue. I was talking with a youth. I work with youth. I was talking to a youth, and he had this question that I had when I was an atheist before I became saved, is who made God? It's an issue. Now, I did not know the answer. I didn't know the answer, but I didn't know how to make the answer connect to his story. The answer is that God is everlasting and everlasting. But this guy who does not know Jesus yet does not understand an eternal God. So how am I going to get that to connect to his story? All right? Because if you don't believe in Jesus, how are you going to believe in something that you really can't see that? How do you really know that God is eternal? How do we really know that God is eternal, right? So what I did, I thought about it. I said, man, what is keeping us? If God is eternal, I went through the grid and said, let me think about it. Why are we not eternal? Why do we die? Right? That's what I asked him. I said, well, why do you think we die? Put it back in his hand, right? And so the Bible tells us why we die is because of sin. All right? Now I just connected death that we all have to experience to his story. All right? I know the truth, but doesn't connect to his story and what he wants to know. So I said, why do we die? All right? Then how do we get eternal life? Let's move to Jesus. All right, we can talk more about the sin in that conversation of the wages of sin is death and his sin, but let's move to Jesus. Jesus, what? He dies, but he resurrects to give us what? Eternal life. So if Jesus is God, he connects that God must be eternal if he resurrects. Now he can look at Jesus to see that God is everlasting to everlasting because he gives eternal life to those who repent and trust in Jesus. You understand how you make that story? One more example. I didn't know if I was going to use it, but this was so fundamental in my life, and it changed my life. Because I would say we're gospel-centered and cross-centered. That's true. But I didn't really know how to make it work in my life. And I had this issue, a big altercation in my life, and it rocked me. It was one of the worst experiences that I had. But the way that God stepped in through the gospel was so amazing. I didn't grow up with my father. And I love him. We're growing in our relationship. I spent some time with him. I went through this biblical manhood. And said, you need to know your father wounds. You need to get to know your dad. So I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to get to know him. This particular week, we up there. Our family is visiting. And I'm taking turns to really get to know God, get to know my father. And in that, there was a little issue going on in my heart. And I wanted his affirmation. My dad makes a lot of money. And I wanted him, and I don't make too much, and I wanted him to affirm me. I had this thing in me that really wanted to be affirmed. See, it was some unresolved issues in my life. We all have those issues. Unresolved. We got to resolve them through the gospel. Unresolved issues in my life. And what ended up happening was there was an altercation that we ended up having over a game. It was the craziest thing ever. But it was a bad altercation that it really got really, really bad. And to the point we wasn't speaking, it was almost a fight over nothing. At least I thought it was nothing. But it hurt me so bad that my father would be angry with me, which I felt like was over nothing. And I had a big issue, like, why would he be angry at me? I didn't do anything wrong. Is this the best that you can give me? I haven't been with you all my life. Is this the best that you can give me that you would get mad at me and want to fight me? And that's not to say anything bad, but I didn't see my sin. So what happened was this. I said, man, I felt alone. I felt like the black sheep. Like, my brothers and sisters, they can't understand. Like, I had to fly in to see my dad. They was with him all the time. They can't understand. I'm the stepbrother. All this kind of thing. Like, I'm alone. And I wanted to know, could God understand me? I know he's omniscient. That's great. But does he bear with my weakness right now? And what does the gospel have to say about that? What I end up doing, I said, if I don't, the way I felt so mad at my father, I felt like I could forgive him, but not forget. You know how that is? Like, I'm going to forgive him, but I'm not going to really have anything to do with him. That's it. You know, I'm good. I'm in Christ. I'll forgive him, but I'm going to move on. We're not going to have any relationship. That's how we are sometimes. But I knew the way I felt about my son, like, I'm never going to hurt him like that. It was changing me. I wasn't focused on how Christ wanted me to raise him. I was mad at my dad and said, I'm going to do a better job with him. Because I'm never going to do that. I wasn't looking towards God to show me how to be a father. I was looking towards that, and I knew this was going to wreck my life if I didn't change it. So what I did is I said, God, do you really understand me? Do you understand how I'm feeling right now? I know you know all things. And as I was meditating on these principles in the gospel. This is what I realized, that the father was angry at his son for no reason, right? That the Bible says this. Look, here's the thing. That because of my sin, in Isaiah 53, it said that the father's wrath was poured. God's anger was poured on his son because of my sin. When I saw that, and that happened at the cross. Remember, there was a separation at the cross. When I saw that, I said, oh my gosh, I have offended my father. God's original intent for me, even if I was upset, is to honor him. That's the relationship I'm going to have with my father. I didn't feel that way, right? But I didn't see anything wrong until I saw that Jesus truly did understand, because his father was angry at him because of my sin. And it rocked me, and I was humble at that moment. And now I wasn't waiting for my dad to respond to me. I had an issue with God. Because what I did at that moment was an honoring to him. And that's how he felt. And that's why he came at me. And so as I put it in that grid, and what ended up happening was this. As I meditated on, man, God, I'm so sorry I did that. That moment, this big stronghold, I've never felt this feeling before in my life, moved from me immediately. You can ask my wife. It was amazing. The way I was feeling, it was amazing. It moved from me immediately, and I was able to go out and look him in the face. And I didn't have to worry about if he came to me first, because I already got it right with God. Now I can get it right with him. And that's how it works. And guess what? When I responded the right way, it restored the relationship. That's how this grid can work. Wherever you are in your life, look at it from a gospel lens and see how Christ is the example. He fulfills God's will, but he also is up on the cross for our sin, and then respond accordingly and get it right. In your marriage, the same thing. Look at that. What is it supposed to be like? When we fall short, look to the cross again. Look how Jesus loved the church, and get back in there. Realign yourself with God's will, and it'll restore everything. We know that. We don't blame the finger. We point to ourselves, and we cherish who again? Christ. That's what I want to be encouraged you. Let the gospel, those central truths, have an implication in all of our lives. When they're redefining marriage, what was God's original intent? How is man's sin and brokenness affecting that? What does Jesus do about that? How does he redeem that? And then we respond again in that. In every issue, put it in that lens. And it takes some work. It takes some practice. That's what Hebrews says, that maturity comes through practice of the truth. We have to practice these things. Practice this. Think of an issue and say, how does it fit in this lens? And that's what that study had me to do. And it has helped me and encouraged me in so many ways. So wherever you're at in your life, if the band could come forward. Our story and God's story. Have you at some point in your life responded to what Christ has done for you, not what you have done for Christ? Have you fully trusted in him? Whether you're a believer or not a believer, we continue to have to look onto the gospel. Be encouraged, saints. Use the gospel lens to point us to Christ over and over and over again. And stand firm and hold fast to that truth, even when everyone else denies it. All right? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your glorious gospel. We thank you for your truths. We see all in Scripture the implications of the gospel affects. We should forgive because you've forgiven us. We should love one another. We should care for one another. The cross should really move us to die to ourselves and to love. Help us, Lord, to really see the gospel. Let us see the streams, even in our culture, that is affecting the implications and is touching the gospel. Let us hold fast to the truths. We need you to do that. We need you to do that in our lives. Let it be central and of first importance in every aspect of our lives. Father, we thank you for giving us your son. You're worthy to be honored and praised. We love you, God. Let us continue to rejoice as we sing songs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.